Welcome back to the Swim Swam Breakdown. I'm your host, Coleman Hodges, coming to you from Austin, Texas, joined by Yin Yin Lee from Evanston, Illinois. We're going to get right into it today. First on our docket of swimming topics to discuss, it appears that one of Summer McIntosh's sponsors, Nine Point Partners, has released Summer's lineup for the 2024 Canadian Trials, which will be May 13th to 19th. The proposed lineup for McIntosh would be the 400 free, the 400 IM, the 2 fly, the 2 IM, and the 100 backstroke. And noticeably, we are missing the 200 free and the 800 free there. If Summer does decide to swim this lineup at Canadian Trials, how do you feel about it, Yin Yin?
The main thing that's interesting to me is the swimming the 100 back instead of the 200 free. I think the 800 free 200 IM thing, that kind of makes sense because they're both on the same day. And even though McIntosh did beat Katie Ledecky in the 800 free a few months ago, Katie Ledecky at her top game is unbeatable. And it just seems wiser to swim a shorter event towards the end of the meet where she is the prohibitive favorite. And with the 200 free, the 200 free is what I don't understand her dropping. And I'm looking at the schedule, the event schedule right now.
For Paris?
Yeah, for Paris. Mm-hmm. And the 200 free, it doesn't seem to conflict. Oh, wait, no. Same session as 400 IM. Yeah, I get it now. Just ignore all my confusion from before. I understand why she would drop the 200 free because it falls in the same session as her best event. Admittedly, it is the second event. So if McIntosh wanted to just do it for funsies, it wouldn't affect her 400 IM in the way that swimming a 200 before would, but either way, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I guess swimming the 100 back as like an unserious race, I don't think she'll swim it at the Olympics if she finishes top two. It's just something to help her practice with the 100, something to help increase her repertoire and her versatility. That makes sense. Sorry, I just went on the whole tangent of stuff because I didn't know the schedule well enough.
That's what we're here for. Yin Yin is Yin Yin tangents. Yin, it's all good.
Specifically, what about you, Coleman?
I'll go on my own tangents. I think for the most part it makes a lot of sense. I think the 200 free is Summer's fifth best event anyway. Yeah. So yeah. Like even when people are like, oh, she should swim it, you know, one comment says 200 free final is 2 hours after 400 IM final. I'm sure she could do that double. I'm sure she could, but this isn't.
Why would she?
Like that this event lineup gives her four very, very solid options to win four gold medals, right? And so I don't think you tinker with that by adding a fifth event. Plus, she's going to be swimming relays. And Canadian relays have a very good shot at medaling, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm good with it. I don't see why so many people are saying, oh, no 200 free. Because it's like, she's not going to swim five individual events. Yeah. That just doesn't make sense.
Unless you're Michael Phelps.
And she's not Michael Phelps. And I'm not saying she couldn't. But that's also three 200s and two 400s, which
is like that's more than what Phelps had. And also, I think we've learned now that doing what Phelps did might not be a good idea for everyone. Even that's not an insult towards other swimmers. It's just it's a recipe for burnout.
It is exceedingly challenging. And yeah. I think, Summer would take three gold medals over a gold medal, two silvers, and two bronzes, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And swimming the 200 free makes that second scenario more likely. And so I think she's putting her eggs in the chasing maximum gold medals basket.
Yeah, and it's like, this is her first Olympics where she has a legitimate shot at medaling. Last time she was an outsider looking in, so I think her decision, especially as a teenager, to focus on those events that matter most to her and not put too much on her plate, that's honestly a smart decision on her part, and I think she knows that.
Yeah, and I think Brent Arkey, her coach, is in the same boat. He's a very smart guy and very methodical with how he's prepared her for these kinds of meets. So, yeah, we're on the same page. I think her not swimming the 200 free is totally fine. I think she's still going to probably be on and lead off the 800 free relay for Canada. So it's all good.
Yeah.
From that vantage point. Next up, a technical entry error has locked Accolanes High School swimmers out of the CIF North Coast section meet, and it just doesn't make sense to me. It seems like this is on a level of maybe even worse than DQing Owen Lloyd for falling into Ross Dance today.
Yeah.
You know, like, this seems like,
it's like affecting an entire team.
This seems more petty. So,
yeah,
as we reported and as it was relayed to us, the Accolanes head coach, Brett Usinger, believed he had submitted entries for the 13 swimmers who qualified for the North Coast section meet prior to the Sunday deadline. He followed up twice with a North Coast section officials to confirm the submission, but didn't receive any communication, but then received word on Monday after the deadline had passed that the entries had not come through and therefore athletes would not be able to compete at what would be many of their last high school swim meet. There were 8 seniors out of those 13 swimmers qualified. And I just don't there's like no rationale that has been presented from the North Coast section that's like, oh yeah, this is why they can't enter, and it makes sense, right? Like, it just seems like they're being petty, because the point of high school swimming is for kids to swim. It's not for people, it's not for adults to enforce rules that are kind of meaningless.
Yeah, and I think the fact that there was a quote-unquote technical error that didn't allow for the entries to be submitted, that just seems, as you said, petty, because why is this technical error that can just be fixed manually preventing these seniors from getting to swim at one of the biggest swim meets of their lives? Like, that just feels unnecessary, and I think this also is kind of like a no offense, but kind of like a swimming moment, because we see a lot of times in swimming where like really small minor technical things are hurting people because the people behind either don't care or are not competent enough to run things smoothly. And it's just, again, really frustrating on the athletes' behalf, especially since they're just kids, they're high schoolers. It's not like entering them manually is going to create some sort of unfair advantage. Like, there was an operational problem, and that shouldn't be hindering them. And the good thing is that there is a precedent, which was Benjamin Lyons from Longmeadow High School in Massachusetts. He won a case against the Massachusetts Athletic Association, and that case allowed him to swim. The ruling of the case allowed him to swim because he also had a similar entry error. So I'm hoping that a solution like that will be put in place for Accolanes High School.
Yeah, it is just a real bummer that it's coming to this. Older sister of one of the 13 team members also provided the context that the entry system provides no confirmation, no proof of receipt, no acknowledgement, and no submit button. So this seems like first and foremost just a problem with the system of submitting entries.
Yeah.
Because if the coach submitted them and then followed up twice, you should receive something that said, okay, we got your entries, or something that said we didn't get your entries, right? Yeah. If you're trying to communicate with the North Coast section, and then there's no reason presented that you can't just get the kids into the meet, because the point of all of this is for these kids to be able to compete and have a positive experience. And like you said, this seems like a very much swimming thing, because sometimes it seems like people are just small-minded.
Like, this is taking me back to the case last year where I think it was like a New Jersey high school. I believe it was Morristown or Parsippany Hills or something like that, where a swimmer got DQ'd for wearing like an American flag cap. Just really small stuff, an unnecessary stuff like this, which is impacting literal teenagers.
It's high school swimming.
Yeah, exactly.
There's really nothing on the line here for any of these adults. But there's a lot on the line here in terms of memories made and getting to see out a lot of hard work paying off for the athletes. So come on, Central or North Coast section. be better. Hopefully we can see a positive result to this.
One thing that I am glad and grateful for is that Swim is a large enough national platform in the swimming community where like a high school team like Accolades High School can have their issue aired out and have like the platform for like the entire swimming world across the U.S. to understand what's going on, so like people can rally behind them. Whereas if it weren't for a site like Swim, not the shameless self plug, but still, just like so they can have eyeballs on them to hopefully get the situation resolved.
Absolutely. I mean, it does provide a certain level of accountability, hopefully, a certain level of pressure to make the right decision. You know, if not letting them into the meet is the right decision, then show us why, right?
Yeah,
don't just say, oh, sorry, you missed the deadline.
Don't hide behind a wall.
Yeah. So I agree with you. If you're listening to this now and you have the power to share this story or to take action in any way against the North Coast section, please do. We encourage it, because we want to see high school swimmers be able to swim at their last high school meet. There have been a lot of switch-ups in college swimming over the last month, which has been exciting to see. I'm going to focus on the men's side, because we saw Arizona State win their first men's title at the 2024 NCAAs. 2 days later, Bob Bowman, the head coach, goes to Texas. And then we've seen a lot of shuffling around, and also a lot of staying, a lot of fifth years or a lot of seniors, this now seniors announcing fifth years from powerhouse schools on the men's side. So I'm going to run through a quick list, and then I'm going to get your opinion, Yin-Yin. So today, Kobe Carozza of Texas announced he's staying for his fifth year. Hubert Koch has announced that he's going to Texas from ASU. Florida is getting Jake Mitchell back for a fifth year. IU is returning three seniors who all scored at NC2As for fifth years. And they're getting ASU transfer Owen McDonald. We don't really know what Cal is doing or who might be taking a fifth year there, but just with all that we've seen so far, who do you like as your 2025 NC2A favorite right now, or just heading into the 24-25 season? What men's program do you think might come out on top?
Okay. One, I hate this question. It involves too much math in my head that I don't want to do, but I will give my opinion on some of these changes and fifth years. I think the biggest surprise to me was that Owen McDonald did not follow his coach Bob Bowman to Texas from Arizona State. Because coming into college, Owen McDonald, he wasn't a great recruit. He was probably one of the best in his class, but he was not top 20, but he emerged into one of the best swimmers in the NCAA. Like, for example, he went from a 47.2 to a 44.2 in the 100 back, 142.6, 136.6 in the 200 back, 146.1 to 139.2 in the 200 IM. Those are some ridiculous drops. And I think it's even mentioned that his best times, some of his best times are faster than the Indiana team records, which is insane. And I'm just questioning, why would he leave the coach that developed him into the swimmer that he is? And just given the context that not many swimmers get to improve the way he did and go to a school where he's already considerably better than a lot of his teammates and any other swimmer in the school's history. And I understand that Indiana's a phenomenal program in its own rights, maybe not known for some of the events that Owen McDonald swims. They're more of a, I feel like I see them more as like a breaststroke heavy school, but also I understand because his brother is there, but just that decision was a little confusing and also really interesting one to me. The fifth year stuff, I'm not surprised about. Hubert coached to Texas is what I expected Owen McDonald to do. So I definitely think that next year, because ASU kind of disassembled, I think we will see one of the closest NCAA title races on the men's side ever. Just because right now I could literally not tell you who's gonna win. So yeah. And I do want to talk about Alex Walsh's fifth year choice on the women's side. So if we ever get to that, we can talk about it.
Oh, we can talk about that. But I'll say my part about the men, because there's just so many interesting things happening, especially with those who we think might be the top four teams next year on the men's side, which is Cal, Texas, Florida, and Indiana. You know, Indiana and Florida were separate.
What is the NC State erasure, Coleman? They have the number one recruiting class.
I think the they'll have to develop that talent. I think freshmen are just, you never know what's going to happen with freshmen.
That's true.
And I hope that they do, because they have a monster class coming in.
Well, I'm also saying this because they're a strong enough team on their own, even without the freshmen.
Yeah, I guess I'm not counting them this year because they were fifth. And so I feel like they kind of have to prove it at this point. Just because Indiana and Florida seem to be maintaining their spots in those slots. And especially Indiana, like, you know, in 2018, their men were 20 points away from winning a national title. And and Ray Luce and his staff, I think, do a really good job at developing and like kind of finding some diamonds in the roughs of like recruits that we didn't necessarily think were going to make the leap. And then they do. I think a great example of that would be one of the returning fifth years, Jason Yep, who scored in both breaststrokes this at NC2As. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun meet. I think Owen McDonald, again, I think swimming with your brother is a pretty cool opportunity and something that doesn't come around every day. I feel like it did my heart good to know that the Bob Bowman Ray Luce pipeline is still very open, because if you remember, was it like 5 years ago, 3 years ago, when like we saw a bunch of transfers from ASU to Indiana and from Indiana to ASU, and it seemed like they were just kind of trading swimmers at one point, which was comedic from the outside. But I think Bob and Ray are maybe not comparable coaches, but have similar styles of coaching. And so I think that might be more of a natural transition. And that coupled probably with getting to swim with your brother might have been the X factor for him.
Yeah. And I'm not looking down upon his decision at all. I think Indiana is a great program, and I wouldn't be surprised if he continues improving there, but it just confused me a little bit in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think most people saw it coming, certainly, but they have had the NC2A champion in the 100 back the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. So maybe good things to come. I am going to throw it out there and say, I like Indiana on paper right now. You know, I think they get a replacement for Brendan Burns sort of in Owen McDonald. And I think they have returning scores, and I think there's still some untapped potential on that team, but they had a lot of momentum this year, and it was a home NC2As for them, but I don't know. I want to see a close meet, and that's that. I really hope we get that, and it looks like we're going to be getting that. Anyway, we also got the news that Alex Walsh is taking a fifth year. Tell me your thoughts on that, Yin.
So before Alex Walsh said that she was going to take a fifth year, I knew that UVA still had the hot hand heading in next year, just because they gain pretty decent recruit. They gain a really good recruiting class with forgot about Leah Hayes as well. Hayes and Anna Mosh and a bunch of other Bailey Hartman. They're joining UVA and they get Claire Curzan. So they were already
favorites.
4-5
people. Too much.
And now Alex Walsh is coming back. Just hand the NCAA.
Golly. I mean,
and I don't. This does not change the NCAA title implications that much, because UVA was going to win anyways. But I am a little surprised that she chose to take a fifth year, just because it felt like before this season, UVA's top swimmers, especially like their Olympians, weren't really doing fifth years. Like we saw Kate Douglas, she chose to go to grad school but focus on long course. So she didn't want to do the fifth year. She was tired of college swimming. But so I kind of thought that Alex Walsh would go on a similar path, especially since I was actually talking to Tyler Fenwick about this like a few months ago, and he said something along the lines of like, Alex Walsh, she's not a swimmer that really has to rely on her college career to be successful. She has like an like Olympic long course future ahead of her, so like she doesn't really need the fifth year as much as some other swimmers do. So I kind of just like took that as a sign that maybe she wasn't going to return. So the fact that she's returning does surprise me a little bit, and that's not saying that long course isn't her future, because this absolutely is, but just like, I don't know, given UVA's history and given what I've heard, this was a little surprising to me.
I also feel like her fifth year placement is more ideal than Kate Douglas's. You know, Kate's would have been heading into the Olympic year, whereas Alex's is after the Olympic year. It's like, why not go swim yards and have fun in college swimming right after the Olympics?
Yeah.
I feel like that makes more sense to me on paper than, you know, the year before the Olympics, you want to focus on long course.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised too. It did kind of feel like Alex was just going to say, hey, I'm good on college swimming, but it's crazy to me how much of a swing there was, because at one point where it seemed like it was possible that Alex was not going to take a fifth year, but that Reagan Smith was going to swim for Texas.
Oh yeah.
So, and like, you know, the swing that would have been, it's like, okay, does Texas really have a legit shot to take down Virginia now that Reagan Smith is on the team? And the likelihood is probably not, just because of all the other swimmers that you mentioned that UVA is gaining this year. But now it's like, yeah, there's no chance. I mean, yeah, that could be, we could see the most dominant team in college swimming we've ever seen next year.
Does Kate Douglas have any more eligibility? Can she just can she like pull a Haley Cavender and just take her fifth year on a whim?
that would be silly. Yeah. That would just be silly. But I doubt it. I feel like Kate Douglas might be done with swimming after this summer.
Yeah. I feel like she should take a shot at one more short course worlds, because that 200 IM world record is looming. But
you want it.
Yeah.
I want it. Yeah, we all want it. Yeah. Come on, Kate. Do it for the fans.
Do it for the fans. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our major news for the week. Let's finish off this with a couple sink or swims. First up today on Sink or Swim, at the 2024 Polish Championships that were serving as the country's Olympic trials, we saw two swimmers in one lane in the women's 200 IM during the crossover turn. A swimmer in lane 7 ended up in lane 6 going into the breaststroke leg, and she finished the race in lane 6 along with the original swimmer who was also in lane 6. I did a whole video about this, but I'm curious what everyone else thinks, specifically what you, Yin-Yin, think. Should swimming get rid of the crossover turn in IM events and just replace it with a backstroke flip turn?
I'm going to sink it. We need the crossover turn for the drama. Because I just find it so funny how some of the best swimmers and IMers in the world can do so much, but then when it comes to a crossover turn, they struggle immensely. I don't remember if Summer McIntosh couldn't do a crossover turn or if her crossover turn was really bad, but it was just really funny to watch because it was like, yeah, this is world record holder Summer McIntosh struggling to do a crossover turn. And maybe this is just me wanting the top swimmers in the world to be more relatable. But I think it's
Yin-Yin, that was the best answer I ever could have hoped for. And okay, but I don't agree with it at all. this is a argument show, or at least in theory.
Yeah.
I'm swimming it all the way. I think the crossover turn is dumb and causes way too much drama, and it wouldn't ruin the sanctity of the event if people just did one freestyle stroke in their 50 backstroke and then did a flip turn, and there would be so many less DQs. We wouldn't see Kaylee McEwen getting DQ'd at the World Championships, but Alex Walsh not getting DQ'd, even though they kind of did, their turns kind of looked the same. That's a whole thing. And I'm not taking shots at anyone here, but it's just like the crossover turn causes too much drama, and I don't want that drama in my swimming life. So I think we should just convert to a backstroke flip turn.
But the drama means discourse, and discourse might be bad in the moment, but when you look back on it in 10 years, you're all going to laugh about it. Oh, maybe Kaylee McEwen won't. I apologize. Maybe it won't be fun for her, but having the existence of a crossover turn is not going to ruin her life. I'm gonna get canceled for this.
No, I mean, you make a valid point. I just don't agree with it, and I think you're wrong.
Okay. Fair. As you said, this is an argument show.
This is, in theory, an argument show.
Yeah. It's usually Braden Keith driving the argument, but we're doing
our best Braden Keith impression this time. Okay. Next up on Sink or Swim, our last Sink or Swim of the day. It's a quick show because, you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm just so glad to finally have a week where like nothing insane is happening. And that's saying a lot, considering less than a week ago, we had a Chinese doping scandal and dude swim 340 in the 400 free, but it's just like, can we take a breath, people? Like, oh, so this is a shorter breakdown and I'm happy about it. But
yeah,
speaking of that 340 in the men's 400 free, Lucas Martins went 340.3 in the 400 freestyle. He is the fourth fastest performer of all time now, but he's still not under 340. We still haven't seen anyone in history do it. He doesn't even have the German record because he's the second fastest German of all time. Because Paul Biedermann has the world record at 340.07, 08.
Yeah, 07.
So sink or swim. Will someone go under 340 in the men's 400 freestyle in Paris?
I am absolutely swimming it. I'm actually doing a few articles. It's like ranking the men's and women's world records by how likely they'll fall in Paris. And spoiler alert, I have the men's 400 free ranked pretty high. It's just, I just have a feeling. We've been knocking on that 340 door for the past year. And do I think Lucas Martins will necessarily be the one to break the world record and go under 340 during Paris? Probably not. It could be so many different people. Adben Hafnaoui, Elijah Winnington, Kim Woo-min, and just the men's mid-distance swimming. Oh, yeah, Sam Short. Right. Men's distance swimming, it's just getting faster and faster. A world record is bound to fall, and I will be disappointed if it doesn't.
Well, prepare to be disappointed, Yin-Yin, because I am sinking it. It's not going to – no way. We've never seen the fastest swims of all time at the Olympics in this event.
What?
Except for Sun Yang.
Oh, in this event.
In this event. In this event. Okay. Because – it's day one. Well, it might be day two in the new schedule. Hold on, people. Let me pull this up really quick. No, it's still day one. So it's first day of the Olympics. So everyone's still kind of like getting into the meat. They got their nerves. It's like the first event or this. It's one of the first. It's the first. It is the first final. So it's the first medal event of the Olympic Games. And the way someone's going to get under 340 is if they go out really fast. No one's going to go out really fast in this race, I don't think, because they want to win. They're swimming to win. They're not swimming to break the world record. They should swim to break the world record because then they might win. But no one's going to. Like 343 won in Tokyo. And I know that the event's gotten much faster since then. But what I'm saying is that people are very conservative in this race. I don't see it. Lucas Martins went his best time in Germany. I think at a world championships, it could totally happen. Like that's where Ian Thorpe went his fastest. I'm not sold on Hafnaoui because I just don't know where he's at this season. I don't actually know where he is in the world, but also, you know, it's like, he's had a lot going on. The Australians are looking great. But I don't see it happening in Paris.
Okay, counterpoint. I know you said the World Championships were an exception, but they are a big high-stakes meet. And the 400 freestyles were on the first day of the meet, and both of them, men's and women's, were ridiculously fast.
It's true.
And Ariane Thomas in the women's 400... Oh, I guess, but that's on day two, but still... Went a best time, so
you're not wrong, but I just think I think it's different because for the women on the women's side, there's like three people who are gonna win, right? Like you had Summer, Katie, and Ariane, and it's like I think it's easier for them to swim their own race a little bit, and I think. For whatever reason, I've never been to any of these meets. I've certainly never competed at them. But at a world championships, it's just a different level of pressure than the Olympics. And I do think that affects race strategies, especially in this event or in longer events. Like I really don't think people are going to be as aggressive, especially on the men's side, because there are so many people. We don't know who's going to win. We have no idea. Like in the women's event, you know, one of three athletes are going to win, right? And like that, we kind of knew that last year in the women's 400 free too. So
yeah,
I would love to see it. Well, I don't think we're gonna.
Well, you're wrong.
Boom. All right. Well, we will see in really not that long. It is coming up soon. And yeah, it is exciting. But anyway, that's our show. Thanks for joining us on the Swim Swam Breakdown. We will see you next time.